Hello, this is Roy Lilly. Well, you know, writing is a lonely occupation. When I finally finish typing and press send, I often wonder who'll read it and what they'll make of it. Some topics capture your imagination and others your indignation. And that's certainly true of recent days when I've been highlighting the performance of NHSE, NHSI's boards. I think it's fair to say my inbox is divided between polite "who are they?" to an unprintable load of stuff that I won't repeat here. What do they do comes close to the top of the list of repeatable questions. Well, let's start with who are they, because that's not simple. As the NHS tries to scrape the last whiff of Lansley's bonkersness from its boots, we're left with two organisations, NHS England and NHS Improvement. The legislation inching its way through the Westminster Gas Works will crunch the two into one. Until that's out of the way, they meet what's called in common, a legal wriggle round that lets them share some executives, most decisions, and fudge the money. You can see who they are by following the link in today's e-letter, except the NHSE's stuff is out of date and they're still listing the outgoing chairman. Anyway, if you look at the runners and riders and the form book, NHSI is a much stronger board and more diverse. And I have to say, Andrew Morris, NHSI chair, previously by a country mile ran the service's best hospital. He's had a lifetime of service to the NHS under his belt and someone who I know and respect and has an intricate knowledge of health and care. So it astounds me that he's content to preside over no workforce plan, not much of a financial plan, a muddled digital future and no real grip on recovery. I guess it's probably something he hates as much as I do. Patrick Carter, another director too, hugely competent, knows his stuff, and I wonder why he's content to sit on his hands. Certainly he'd have a view, at least on the practicality if nothing else, of a 30% improvement target with a 5% set of less revenues. There's obviously a problem. Well, I think there are several. First, the two boards only meet bi-monthly. It's impossible, in my view, for non-execs to get a feel for the rhythm and pace of a multi-billion pound organisation with 1.4 million people meeting that infrequently. In fact, I'd say it's a basic error, because if something's not right at meeting number one, it's 2 months before the next meeting, time for it to fester into a bigger problem. Fermenting or fixing it by meeting number three gives you a situation to deal with, and before you know it, it's taken 6 months or maybe even eight for the board to be satisfied something is back on track. Now, there'll be interim committee meetings and video conferencing and stuff like that, but it's not how a board should run. It meets in public for a purpose, and that's to satisfy the shareholders, the public, its people, the staff, the board are collectively aware and on top of things, something which I really can't see they could claim right now. Second is the COVID legacy. Some of the board members will have been sheltering, others at an age where it was ill-advised to circulate. Executives who've been given license, free rein, whilst COVID emergency powers meant that actually the DH and number 10 were running everything and not the NHSEI executives. Between snogging in the office, of course, and parties at number 10, sidelining the board, and now they've lost their collective grip. And that takes me to the third problem and perhaps the biggest. This is a very political government. Everything has to be world-beating, world-class, and all credit reflected back to number 10. Number 19 is enthralled to Bojo, who has an eye on the elections, and that's why we have ludicrous claims no responsible board would make about COVID being over and stupid promises about waiting lists and gingering up NHS performance. Number 19 talking rubbish about 30% more performance, and Sunak talking nonsense about productivity targets, and both of them terrified of the cash implications of a workforce plan. A well-disciplined, well-run board would go to the politicians and talk what's realistic, what can be done and what can't. Agree a deliverable plan and get on with it. It's a job for the chair, Alas, Morris will probably go when the dust settles and the board remains in transition. Some members will know they're heading for the door and ambition, enthusiasm and track will have drifted. Whilst the new NHSC chair is figuring out which way is up. The upshot, the chief executive is pushed around by everyone and the agenda set by the number 10 press office. If there was ever a time to get the NHSEI board sorted, it is now. And answer the question, who runs the NHS? Thanks for listening. I hope we'll talk again soon. Bye.